Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to Listen, Money Matters. We have no catchphrase this week, but my name is Thomas, and as always, I'm here with my great friend Andrew and my other good friend Matt. And I wanted to say Matt as well, because I'm going to need to ask you guys both what you're drinking. As is tradition.
Well, mine's cooler than Matt, so I'll go first. Okay. I also have seniority. I believe I have seniority.
You have been on this show the longest.
That's true, for better or worse. There was like a farmer's market, and their name is like Merrick's or whatever, and they had this hard cider, and it's hard cider with hops, so it kind of qualifies. And what so it's called King Street Beer Street Cider Street. That's actually a really weird name.
How many streets?
But the coolest part is not the name, but that the ingredients, there's two ingredients: fresh pressed apples, whole cone hops.
That's all it is?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, nice. And water and yeast. And
okay.
Fine.
So, because you're drinking a cider, in my book, no matter what Matt's drinking, yours is cooler.
I don't know.
We'll see. What are you drinking?
You're in for a treat. So I am drinking a beer. It's a Weldworks beer. It's called Salt of the Dog Goza.
Okay.
And it is made with sea salt, coriander, and grapefruit puree. It is 4.1% alcohol, and it is a nice sessionable sour goza.
All right, you may have made me wrong there, because that sounds really good.
Damn it. It
came in hot and strong.
I forgot about Weldworks, because you were telling me they make all these great sours and these great fruit-flavored beers.
Oh, yeah, and I was at the Weldworks Invitational and drank $100 and drank a ton of beer, sweet-ass stouts and IPAs and sours and saisons. It was a shit show.
Well, as is tradition, I don't have a beer. Because it's 2, but I do have.
Yeah, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's right.
It is 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 5 o'clock
in the middle of the Atlantic.
Actually, it's 4 o'clock for you, Andrew. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But it's Friday, and on Fridays, 5 o'clock comes an hour earlier, no matter where you are. So I think it's
science.
Fine for you, at least.
Science.
I've got my typical hipster sparkling probiotic lemon cayenne drink.
Well, hold on. If it's probiotic, it means it's got a little bit of alcohol.
Wait, for real?
Look at the back. I bet it is. It's like kombucha has like 0.001% alcohol or something.
Where would it say that?
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
It says please recycle. I don't see anything about alcohol in here. I mean, I guess I could like look at it way harder later on so I don't have a bunch of dead air, but I don't see anything about alcohol.
Well, go take a shot of Listerine. You have that.
I don't want to do that.
No, that's,
I could take a shot of like pure vanilla.
Mm.
Isn't pure vanilla basically like Everclear, like in terms of alcoholic content? Isn't it really alcoholic?
Really?
I have no idea. But
I thought I had read something about that somewhere.
Or just all extracts are made with alcohol because alcohol strips the goodness from anything. So I don't know. Science. Huh. I don't know. We did no research for this
that's
food-based episode.
Look, we're not talking about food and vanilla here. This is just our fun little drink segment. So no one can expect us to do a bunch of research for that. Anyway, Matt is joining us today for a not insignificant reason. And
why?
I'm
why
just
is he,
going to...
Why are you here, Matt?
I thought I was here to drink.
That's the reason, yeah.
That's the only reason I did the show in the first place.
Okay.
Andrew's like, we'll drink. I'm like, okay, sold.
So I know we're going to have a bunch of listeners who probably came into the show, didn't go back to episode 1, started on the recent stuff, and have no idea who Matt is.
Okay.
So Matt, to start off this part of the show, who are you?
Thank you for making that a question and not...
Other than just this guy, you know?
Yeah, like, hey, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself. Not a question. I was the original co-host of Listen Money Matters for the first 246 episodes. I could be wrong about that number, but it sounds precise.
It's close.
And then I left, and Thomas took over.
Why did you leave? That sounds pretty dick.
Well, So yeah, we never addressed it. Did you ever address it on the show, like, ever?
No,
we never addressed it fully. We may have like alluded to it, but there was never any real full explanation.
Right. So
I just told everyone Matt found another man,
which was not true. I went like super solo. So at the time, it was like just after I had met Steph at FinCon. We were at FinCon, which is like the personal finance conference. And I believe it was like that. So that was in September. I believe it was that November-ish that I so Andrew and I got in a fight. And I don't remember what the actual fight was about. I just remember that I was in a super pissy mood because I was trying to record at my brother's house. And we couldn't get Skype to work. So I was super pissed off and I had to go to my parents' house and I was already like not like I was just angry that I had to go and do that. So I was already in a bad mood. We got in a big fight and I believe most of like so I remember I wasn't making any money. I had been fired from my job or let go from my job. I was collecting unemployment and I knew that I had a year to make Swim University like my income. And I think at the time I was doing like maybe like between $10,000 and $30,000 that year, like not a lot of money. And I was making all the money from Listen Money Matters, but we weren't making that much money. And the plan was to do sponsorships and to bring in the money. And then Andrew quickly found out that selling sponsorships is super friggin' hard.
Yeah.
And really friggin' annoying. And he was like, I want to build software instead. And I'm like, I don't want to build software. And so we had a like legit disagreement of the future of the company at that moment. Yeah. And I needed, and I couldn't afford to like spend another 2 years working on something that wasn't bringing me any income. And so instead of like, basically I just was like, I need to go focus on SwimU. And that fight kind of like was the catalyst to like push me in that direction.
Do I get to tell my side of the story?
Yes, please do.
So it's fine. We'll cut out everything you said, Matt.
Okay, cool.
No, I think it's like mostly true. Although I distinctly remember a conversation about it was either a survivalist membership site that you wanted to create.
No, or, that was not
or,
the same time.
Or it was some other ridiculous, inane thing. And I was like, really? Like, what about what we're...
No.
I felt like the fight was about focus. I wanted to go, you know, all in with you. And you wanted to, like...
Yeah, oh, that's true. So, yeah.
But I was wrong because you did create your rap album. You're now a famous rap star.
Right.
So it worked out.
So you're right. That was the other thing, too. I remember I wanted to build a multimedia company. Whereas, like, to me, I looked at Listen Money Matters as one brand in a media company with multiple brands. Mm. And Andrew saw Listen Money Matters as like the brand. Like he wanted to, I remember distinctly you saying like, I want to make, this is my empire. Like I want to make Listen Money Matters the empire. And I was just like, I don't know if I want that. I want, you know, Swim University and I want Listen Money Matters and I want some other things because I have like multiple interests in a bunch of things. And we'll talk about it later, but a lot of those things didn't really work out as planned. But I still tried. That's what I was trying to do. And just, you know, as a solopreneur, if you want to use that term, which I don't, but I just did, it becomes really hard to do multiple things all at once and try to build something significant. Although I was able to build something significant, it just, you know, through lack of focus and just like getting lucky here and there. So yeah. That's true. Yeah, that I forgot about that. Yeah.
So I also have a side of the story.
Yes. Now tell us, Thomas, if you could now tell us what actually really happened. Because you were also there too.
Yeah.
I was sort of there. So this was 2014. I was a year out of college. I had discovered Listen Money Matters, I think, in like May of 2014.
That was Money May.
That was when you guys went daily, and that was sort of like the catalyst for growth, which is cool. I think I found you before that, though. And it was randomly through iTunes.
I think you were on before that.
Yeah, I was on before that. I was on like March or April or something like that. And then you guys were on my show. And somehow within the ensuing months, I weaseled my way into your lives enough to get your phone numbers. So I remember hearing about this fight, and then like what really perked my attention up was the fact that there was not an episode that went live like whatever Monday it was in November. I was like, oh, there's a problem. So I remember calling each of you and being on the phone for like 2 hours hearing both of you out. And basically the vibe that I got was that you guys had formed a partnership for this site, essentially.
Yes.
Like Andrew started Listen Money Matters back in 2013, but when I discovered it, you guys were essentially partners. And I distinctly remember you guys telling me it's better to own 50% of a watermelon than 100% of a grape. That was like the justification for being there.
Yes, thank you.
Definitely an Andrew
I haven't
thing.
Said that in a very long time. I will start saying that again.
And I think that is actually on my episode with you guys on my show. So you guys are partners, but it was the situation that Matt just explained where you wanted this to be the empire and you basically expected Matt to be devoting most of his time to this. Matt wanted to be devoting his time to many different projects because that's just the kind of guy Matt is, I think.
Yeah.
But there was sort of like a disconnect.
In some cases, unfortunately in others.
There was a disconnect between that desire and the desire to not like want to have his stature cut down in the business. So it ended up that he left. And I think like you and I have deftly avoided that potential problem because there is like, this is not a partnership in no way, shape or form. I get like less than 20% of the ad revenue and zero of the rest of the
You get more than
revenue.
20% of the ad revenue. But
oh, is it more than 20%?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the actual percentage ends up being, but it's like...
I think it's 50% of a watermelon is what you receive, right? Is that...
No, I don't get that.
No. 20% of a grape? I don't know. What is it?
I remember having the conversation with you like a while ago, and we discussed like what we thought was fair ad split, and that's all it's ever been, which I think is totally fair because you and the team have done everything else. You've built the website, all the articles. The only thing I've ever had a part in has been this show, some of the research, and then the actual talking on the mic. That's it. So it's been fine, and I've gone off and run College Jimbo Geek and done all these things, and it's been great. But now we find ourselves here. And this is, I guess, the big reveal of this episode, because as it turns out, I was just saving the seat for Matt.
You're going to make me cry.
For
also,
3 years.
Also, that's not what you were doing.
That's not what I was doing. But no. It turns out that it ends up that way because after this episode, I'm going to be leaving Listen Money Matters as at least as the co-host of the show. I'll probably be back.
You will definitely be back.
Once in a while to do roundtables and stuff because really the entire reason that I volunteered to be the co-host of the show was because one, I wanted to save the show. It was one of my favorite podcasts to listen to as a listener. And two, I just enjoyed talking with Matt and Andrew. And I was like, well, this is a great way to talk with Andrew every week. There was like literally when I started, there was no intention of making money off of it. There was no money coming in the first place.
Yeah. You
just
took
like,
no
I
money
be on this
for
show. Cause I like it.
An enormous amount of time. And, everything was on the perilous cusp of not existing. And so you definitely saved my ability to quit my job.
You saved it, but you saved it for much longer than what we had originally. I mean, we did 246 episodes, but only in the span of a year because we went daily.
I don't know if I've been on 246, but I've been doing it for longer.
Much longer, yeah.
Than you were because I've been doing it for 3.5 years now.
Yeah, no burnout.
Yeah. So the reason I'm leaving and the reason Matt's coming back is because we are all now at different points in our careers. And we've realized that I have so much to do with College Info Geek that I can't put any more time into Listen Money Matters than I was already doing, which means, you know, it's not really fair to you because I can't really contribute a whole lot of time to researching. I can't work on the website. It's just like I can show up and talk and that's it. But Matt's got time.
Because I failed at building that.
Because your guys' trajectories are roughly inverse.
Right.
So clearly there's an opportunity for you to come in and do a lot more than I'm currently doing. And, you know, from like a us communicating standpoint, it really isn't a huge difference. Both of us have experience co-hosting this show. All three of us talk all the time.
It's true.
So
And you moved to where I live.
That's true, yeah. For us, it's not a huge difference. Though I do know it's going to be a difference for the listeners, especially those who came in later and never really heard Matt's episodes or have not heard them in a very long time. So
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll definitely be
changeover. Don't oversell it, Matt.
I mean, it'll be great. I don't curse at all.
I'm super excited.
I do think the cursing definitely took a downturn when I joined the show. I do curse sometimes. This is the only media thing I do where I ever curse. But
and apparently you don't drink beer. We used to get loaded.
That's true. I don't drink beer.
The cursing was actually cordial.
Dude, we had it like in the early, like even towards the end, I started to not drink beer. But
yeah,
we were doing recording like 7 episodes in a single day.
Yeah.
And like episode 7 would be a shit show.
Yeah.
I do remember just that.
I had to drink a different beer every episode. It was 7 beers.
Yep.
Done.
So the show goes back to its roots. And on that note, I think we should address what's probably going to be the biggest concern with the listeners. Hmm. We're having a change of co-hosts, but how's the show going to change, if at all?
No,
answer it.
Huh. What? I was like, you do it, Matt.
Already this is going to be a shit show.
I have
man.
Seniority. I'm just going to sit here.
Well, no, you told me, hold on, how do I phrase, like it's going back to basics, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you want me to say?
I think one thing that we always wanted to be was like an ultimate personal finance resource. We wanted to cover everything that you could ever want. You know, maybe not every episode is good for you or right for you, but there should be all the pieces you need to put your financial life together and be awesome. And we've slowly drifted to really advanced topics. And I don't want to say like the basics, like you take your quarter and you put it in the pig's back. You know, like we're going to cover stuff that we think is interesting, automation, stuff like that. We're drifting more towards like the 50-year-old range and less towards like what is really applicable now to even us. You know, we were kind of just like trying to like turn over every rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Thomas, you're the king at advanced complex topics. It's literally your day job.
Yeah.
So I cannot compete with that. When it comes to brewing water chemistry and pool chemistry, you know, you could probably make a better video than me, but I would be able to go, I know what pH means.
I don't know. You got pretty into that. Like last time I was at your house, you showed me your kit with all the things, and I was like, oh man, you got pretty into it.
Yeah, so. Pretty deep. But we're not obviously going to talk about water chemistry when it comes to brewing beer, or are we? No.
Chemistry. But the thing is, like, chemistry. You have, like, really good ideas, Matt. Like, if you could, like, say some of the things that you kind of want to get out of this and just bring to everybody.
Sure. I'm going to pull up things that I've been writing down, actually, in the last, like, half hour or so. So like ideas that like we're currently, you know, in the process of like maybe looking into possibly buying a piece of property. I already own a piece of property back in New Jersey, but I lose money on it every month. But that's not the point. The point is like, how do people save up for mortgages? How do they get them? I think this is going to be a really important topic in the coming years because who the hell knows what's going on right now? Mm. You know, and especially talking about the current economy and how it affects everyone, you know, when policy changes happen, what does that mean for your wallet? Health insurance, because I think that's a contentious topic that really, what do you do with that? I've been for the last 3 years, like really looking into, really learning a lot about credit cards and how to use them correctly and how to use them to my advantage. Every time I bring up, you know, like I usually say to people, I haven't paid for a flight in 3 years. And whenever I say that sentence, people are like, how'd you do that? And it's like, okay, so I know that people are interested in that topic. And I have a little bit of knowledge. I have some friends that are much more detail oriented, but you know, We talked a lot about how living here in Colorado is so different than living in South Jersey, and kind of like refocusing on location-based economics and location-based personal finance, because personal finance rules kind of differ depending on where you live in the country and in the world. So I think that's important to address. Obviously, in the last 6 months, or maybe even longer than that, people have been talking about crypto, and I think we need to do some PSAs about crypto. PSA. And then, like, just other ways to manage your money, tools to look at, you know, macroeconomic stuff, product reviews, you know, how to make extra income here and there, like side hustles, if you want to call it that. Again, current events, still going to have what the fuck episodes, still going to do five questions, and just a bunch of like themed out, more basic, less, more advanced, I mean, advanced and basic, but basically
less high
bringing
flying.
It back. Well, I guess I want to say bringing it back to the word personal finance, right? And how everything affects you as a listener.
Yeah. And I can go back to being a listener.
That's right.
And I can get better with my money because or my dad will start listening again.
Oh, yeah. Your dad doesn't listen to me.
I thought that was weird. But how I guess he was just supporting me. My dad's my dad's my biggest cheerleader.
Yeah, I'll say that. That's true.
That's true. Kind of like, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he listened to my rap album, so he was the only one.
Him and Stevie Wonder.
Him and Stevie Wonder. Yeah, that's true.
I love that.
That's a story for another time.
Yeah, so you have to listen to a future episode to ever hear that story.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll come up at some point. Actually, I'm going to give homework to Andrew to make that story come up.
I was like, I want to ask why, but fine, we'll save it.
Yep. That's the teaser. All right. So to round out this episode and actually make it somewhat money related, I thought since all three of us are on the show right now, we could talk about some of our big money mistakes.
I've never
learned from them. You've never made a mistake ever?
Yeah. Who do you want to start first?
That's a good question. I can start if you guys want.
Yeah, do it.
So, and we were talking about this off the air, and this is going to sound slightly arrogant, but I don't want it to be arrogant. It's just sort of like the truth. I started listening to this show a year out of college, and I was a religious listener. So I honestly feel like you guys are part of the reason that I've never really made a really bad decision with my money. I honestly can't think of something I've done where I like lost a significant amount of money because of a stupid boneheaded mistake. And it's because I spent every single morning for like months on end listening to you guys talk about every potential money topic I could think of, or interviewing experts or all this kind of stuff. And I was also fortunate to grow up with parents who informed me about credit cards. They weren't the kind of parents that were like, never have a credit card, and they left it at that. Like, they explained interest. They explained, like, you need to make sure you have a calendar date to pay off your card and make sure you never carry a balance and all that kind of stuff. So I've never had a mistake where I, like, lost a ton of money. But I did have a mistake last year where I brought a lot of anxiety into my life unnecessarily. So last year, we had the whole Bitcoin craze going on, and I got really into, at first, the science and details behind cryptocurrency.
Like the blockchain stuff, right?
Yep. You know, it's cool from a tech standpoint.
Oh, totally.
From a tech standpoint, it's really fascinating. So I went and I read the Bitcoin white paper. I read, I think his name is Andreas Antonopoulos or something like that. I read his book, Mastering Bitcoin. So I like really understand how the blockchain works. I really understand how proof of work works, all that kind of stuff. That was super fascinating. Getting into it though, I actually bought some Bitcoin, and I don't know if I would call that a mistake yet, because at the current price, I basically have lost no money. I haven't sold it yet, and basically I didn't put in enough money to lose. Like if I lose everything, if it goes to zero, it's like not a big deal. I didn't put that much in. So really I just kind of like leaving it there, and I'm like, well, if it ever goes back up, it'll be interesting. Otherwise, whatever.
Right.
But what I also did is I downloaded Robinhood and I started buying individual stocks. And the
and now Robinhood does crypto.
They do. Yeah, I forgot about that. They also do options. They do a bunch of things that they didn't do back then. Back then, it was literally just normal stock buys.
Mm-hmm.
So the crypto thing was sort of a gateway drug into individual stocks. And I know on the show a zillion times we've said, like, we don't really recommend individual stocks for most people. Build up $25,000, I think our threshold was, within your index funds, which I did. So I'm like, cool, I'm there. I'm going to take some of my monthly income and I'm going to start buying individual stocks. And the first ones I picked were things that I thought were going to go up because of the crypto craze. And ended up being right about that. I bought Overstock.com and they were like super blockchain-y. I don't know if they still are. So this is kind of a weird mistake because I ended up when I sold. I did make a profit. But
that's not called a mistake.
The mistake was owning it in the first place, because for the few weeks I held that stock, every single day I would waste a ton of time, usually more than an hour, looking at Robinhood, refreshing things, and then being like, oh my gosh, should I sell now? And then waiting for it to hit a certain threshold. It just stressed me out. And I probably lost like several thousand dollars worth of productivity and stressed myself out and gave myself anxiety.
Right.
So I guess I learned a pretty good lesson from that. I learned that even if I think individual stock investing is lucrative, I should not do it, because it will just give me anxiety. I'll either get overly greedy or I'll get overly worried. It's not worth it. So if I want to make a big investment into one thing, it should be myself.
Yeah, but
it should be a business that I control.
To be clear, the money that you put into crypto wasn't a life savings. It was play money. Am I right in assuming that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, the individual stock money was based. I mean, I don't, like, it was sort of significant for the individual stock stuff, but it's like I wouldn't have been on the street if I'd lost it all. But it still caused me so much anxiety, because like you put it in thinking, oh, I could lose this, it would be fine. But then once it's actually in there, and once you have made a gain, then you're like, oh no, I don't want to lose that.
Right. Well, it's you know, it doesn't sound like a mistake coming from you, because it was play money, and the mistake really is that you lost that time in productivity. However, that exact same thing, even though somebody was up, would be a literal mistake for someone who doesn't have that, right? Who doesn't have, it's not play money, it's life savings, and they're not losing out on productivity, they're losing out on like maybe a marriage or some other, like they're at work and they got fired because they were checking Robinhood all day, or I don't know. Like, I think it's that's like sort of the, when I talked about a crypto PSA, it's like there are it when crypto came out, or at least the Bitcoin bubble, what do they call that now? The Bitcoin, is that a name now?
It's still Bitcoin, right?
But is it still like when it, like it spiked, right? It spiked back in what, December or something?
Yeah.
So I just remember that everybody was talking about Bitcoin, like everybody. Yep. And people who didn't have any money were like, I'm getting Bitcoin, because everyone saw it as a get rich quick. Like, look, oh my God, look how much everyone's making. And yeah, if you're like, dude, I only have $1,000 to my name, I'm going to use my emergency fund and throw it into Bitcoin, whether they're up or not, like that was a pure gamble. It would be like putting $1,000 down on black.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it is a mistake. But it's not a mistake for everyone. Like, if it's play money, you know, whatever. Like, I have a friend who, like, you know, bought $1,000 in Bitcoin because who cares, right? He just had money, and he's like, if I lose it, I'll be sad, but I'm not going to lose my pants.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But, so that's my mistake, I guess. And I wish I had like a more flashy mistake where I was in the gutter to tell you guys.
That fun.
No,
no, it's true. I'm glad I haven't experienced those, but I guess it doesn't make for like a good confessional episode. But I honestly think like you guys starting this podcast and me stumbling across it was a huge help, and it helped me to anticipate a lot of potential pitfalls.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Flattering. So ironically, I hosted this podcast and made a massive money mistake, not because I wasn't hosting the show.
Okay.
Go on.
Right? Is that ironic?
What are you saying? You made the mistake because...
I was trying to make a flip. Like, the show helped you... The show itself helped you not make a mistake, where the show that I hosted helped me make a mistake.
Oh, okay. because you hosted this show that led you to making a big mistake. Is that what you're saying? Okay. So what was that mistake?
So last year, I own a website, swimuniversity.com, about pools and spas and stuff. Okay. That is my primary business. That's where all my income comes from. And last year was a good year. Had a good year. Things were up. Economy's up. All the things are good. So I decided, I had met some people who were like, dude, you should like reinvest the money in your business, reinvest. And I'm like, of course I should do that. Now, it's the summertime. I'm raking it in. So I decide to throw all of that money into hiring a bunch of people. So I hire a bunch of people. I hired a video editor, hired a video animator, hired a COO to try to replace me so that I can start to build my media empire and build other or focus on other things. Hired a salesperson, just all kinds of people. And a sales coach, like just a massive amount of people in September. And they stayed on board until like December. I started like going, okay, well, you know, it's the winter time and things are not growing.
Your pool website is no longer raking in the dough.
Right. As it would in the winter time. But yet I had all these salaries to cover and I forgot that I don't make as much in the wintertime as I make in the summertime. But I was hoping that, you know, if I get all these people on board in the summer, that they would help me build the site up so fast that I would have enough to pay them through the winter. That did not happen. And instead, I had to use my credit card to pay their salaries and go into massive credit card debt. So I was in, and if you want me to tell me, if you want me to say numbers, I will.
Yeah, definitely.
I was in, I'll give you timelines too. So in January, February, March, in April, I was about $40,000 in credit card debt.
Whoa, dude.
Oh my God. I didn't know it was that much.
Yeah.
You've told me about this in person, but I didn't know it was that much.
Yeah, it was a lot. And it was okay. It was one credit card. And so
I have a question.
Yeah.
What was your business bank account or your war chest like in the summer when you made all these hires?
So I make money with affiliate income. And so I know what I'm going to make 2 months later.
So
I knew what was coming into my account. Yeah. And I think last year we did, like, we were having $30,000 to $40,000 income months in May and June.
But what I'm wondering is what was actually in the bank account?
Like, did you have $5,000 before you started, $100,000?
Never got up to $100,000. I think the highest I've ever gotten up to was like $40,000.
So this mistake then cost you like $80,000 is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, a lot.
Holy
dude.
So I guess that's my question is like,
well, as soon as I got that money in my account, I started spending it.
Yeah. So I guess like, why wasn't there ever it's dwindling fast moment? Like, why did it take until $40,000 in debt for you to realize we're losing a ton of money?
Because when I went into debt, I knew that I would be able to pay it back because the summer was going to come.
Okay. Right?
So I knew that I was carrying debt, but only for the short term. And short term was like 6 months. But to me, like, I'm pretty risk tolerant.
Right.
But I realized at that moment I'm not that risk tolerant. Like, I have a threshold, apparently. Yeah. And I got here's the thing. I always knew that when May and June come, we know Swim University will do really well, and then I will use that money to pay the debt. And I would have paid the debt, and I would have broken even. I would have been fine. But I was just stressing out so much that I decided to sell one of my websites. Now, I had decided to sell one of my websites. It was a coffee website called Roasty. I decided before I was in debt, or not before I was in debt, but before I was going to use that money to pay off debt. I was actually going to use that money to save up for a down payment on a home. And then I was like, well, actually, the more responsible thing to do would be to use that money to pay off my actual debt and kind of get ahead of the curve and go, you know what, I made a mistake last year. Let me not do it again in 2018.
Yeah.
And so I ended up using that money to pay off the debt, which I did. And I think I made $55,000 from selling the website. And I used, you know, all of it pretty much to pay the debt. And then I put a little bit in the war chest, quote unquote, and then paid myself a bonus for being sad.
Okay. So really the reason that this all happened was
I was trying
you were
to
kind
was,
of acting like a person who's like setting off on a journey into the desert.
I will call
that,
it.
Like, there's an oasis coming up ahead. And like you were just basically banking on, can I'll I ride the, out the winter?
I'll call it the Icarus effect.
Flew too close to the sun?
A little too close to the sun.
Okay.
You know, I got a bug in my ear. I got like an idea in my head that, you know, like hire people and get them to create more content faster and, you know, get you out of the business so that you can build another asset and, you know, or focus on another asset and really build that up too. Because again, you know, I think going back to the beginning of the episode, my goal was to build a multi-brand media company. And right. I do have multiple brands, but I was trying to remove myself. That was the biggest goal. I was like, I want to remove myself from the day-to-day operations of the business, which means not creating more content, not creating products, all the things.
Yeah.
And I tried to do that almost overnight. I was like, oh, I'm going to hire everybody at once. They're going to take over my job, and I'm going to go build something else. And it turns out people don't just flip a switch. You can't just do it that quickly.
Nope.
And I just made a lot of mistakes, even in the hiring process. Like I hired a salesperson and they ended up quitting on me after I flew them out to Orlando to go to a trade show. And I hired a COO and realized, oh, actually, I don't need somebody to oversee everything because my editor and everybody else were already doing the job correctly and well and didn't need like someone to oversee them. And I was spending a lot of money on that. And I was just like, oh, just mistakes. And I paid for them, but
right.
I figured it out. I mean, I'm back to square one. I mean, I wasn't hurt personally. Like my personal finances weren't hurt except for the fact that I had to stop investing, like putting money into Betterment consistently. I continued. Yeah.
And you lost an asset that you'd worked for years.
And I lost
to
an asset.
Create.
That's correct. Yeah. Which I was done with as a owner. It required someone else to run that type of business, more of a drop shipping, Amazon FBA type of business, or you know somebody who creates their own products and sells them. And I'm just not that type of business owner and didn't want to be. So I knew that brand needed somebody else for it to really flourish. And that's why it was easy for me. I mean, I'm not sad about it at all. It's actually a huge relief to not have to worry about that. And, you know, I built other things in its place. So it's not a loss to me. At least emotionally, it's not a loss. Financially, yes, it was a loss.
Well, I think this brings something to mind that I try really hard to keep front and center in my head as a business owner. And I guess I'm going to call it like the expectation of continued acceleration. And this is what can get people who have made really good decisions for a long time and who have been very successful, can get even those people into hot water.
Yeah.
Because you spend years building your thing, shoveling shit for a long time, and then you start to get some success and starts to pick up. You start to make more money and all of a sudden you're just like, oh my God, I'm making 30 grand a month.
And you're intoxicated.
Like, I never dreamed of that when I was like, even 2 years ago, I never dreamed of that. And then
my business is making that.
Right. You're not giving yourself a paycheck for 30 grand, but like you see 30 grand coming into accounts you control every month. Yeah. And that changes your mindset and it will make you make decisions you wouldn't have otherwise made because you're like, well, if I've gotten here and it's kind of steadily picked up over time, well then, I don't know, I feel like in the next 2 months I should be making 100 grand. Mm. So clearly I should go hire a zillion people. And you just, there's sort of like this expectation that everything should happen faster and faster and faster. It's this exponential graph. And that's where people get into trouble because there's always a tapering off point.
Dude, that's exceptionally well said. I mean, I think that like, because I think we could all agree that we take a small percentage of what our businesses earn. But when you see these big numbers, all of a sudden you're like, what is $100? What is, you know, X amount of money when in the big picture, if you were keeping all of it, it might not be that much, but you're actually, we actually all take pretty humbling amounts of money to try and continue to grow our things. It's hard to balance it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always equated it, or at least during this time, I equated it to investing. It was like, I got a lump sum of money and I decided to invest it in individual stocks and cryptocurrency and was like, I'm going to be fucking rich, and just started throwing money at something. And then I, at the end of it, I'm like, oh, I got greedy. You know, I flew too close to the sun. I tried too hard. But the other bigger reason for me was not a financial gain, but it was actually an emotional stress relieving game. It was, I don't want to be in the day to day anymore. I don't want to, and that's that part of me, that jack of all trades paradox of, I want to do all the things, and you literally cannot do all the things. And Andrew always talks about, and then yells at me, and has been yelling at me for the last 2 or 3 years of, focus, man. Like, just focus. If you just put the amount of, like, because I have I have good output. I'm a good outputter of things. Yeah. But they're outputted, like, I spray the hose and I try to put out the fire by, like, spraying the entire block. When it's really, I should be concentrating on spraying the one window where the fire is actually at, you know, if that's a analogy that anyone can get behind.
Yeah, absolutely. And the mistake you made is kind of common for startups, actually. I mean, for you, it was like a seasonality issue. You didn't realize, or I guess maybe you did realize, but you didn't take seriously the fact that your income was going to naturally diminish in the winter. A lot of big startups will get like their funding rounds, right? And they'll have this giant war chest, and they're not actually profitable right now, but they're like, we've got $30 million in the bank from Sequoia. Let's just go hire a bunch of people. And there's like this expectation that these people are going to come in and immediately make us profitable and pay for themselves. And a lot of times that doesn't happen, especially when you start assuming that there's someone out there who can come in and be you quickly, which is just not going to happen.
Can we relate this?
Oh, well, I was going to say, maybe you're saying relate it to people, because I see this as like the exact problem that, like, say someone who worked in the pool industry might experience, because pools are closed during the winter, or a teacher who is, you know, not working in the summer and needs to spread their income out. And it's a tough challenge, because when you're making, you know, a larger percentage of your income in fewer months, you tend to feel like you can buy more things than you really can. And then when you're not earning, you're kind of like drawing down
Think about those, like, think about those times where you get a bonus or your tax return, right? You get those big lump sums, and what do you do? I mean, growing up, all I did was blow it.
I had like, a rule. Oh, I can buy that's got to be invested. It's not my money. Any bonus is not
Are you serious?
Mine. Yeah.
Well,
I haven't had a tax refund in so long that, like, I never really got. I think that, like, the last time I had a tax refund, it was probably like $200 because I was like 18. Because I've had to do quarterlies every year since then. So, like, there's never been a refund. Or if there has been, my accountant's just like, we're going to apply it to next year. You'll never see it.
Right. I remember it would just mean I would get a bigger toy. That's all that meant. I was like, I get the full Ghostbusters car now.
Yeah.
Matt, you're 25. All right,
Andrew, what's your big mistake?
I had read this thing because
that was your big mistake. You read a thing.
I read this thing. I was something. Like, I can't read. What's going on?
I can't read.
I was reading this thing on how, like, you know, everyone wants to buy like the best stock or make the best investing decision, you know, and this guy was saying that any time you make an investment, that is a very arrogant move, because you're buying it and under the assumption that it's going to go up. So you're almost you're placing a bet, right? It can go down, but you're assuming it can't go down, and so it's very arrogant. And then perhaps there are like degrees of arrogance where you can invest in the S&P 500. You know, it's
but there's also degrees of, I mean, unlike a roulette table, you can research.
Right.
Right.
But
and be more certain.
You can't know all the things. You know, I love Apple. I own all their products. I own their stock, and I read every article that comes out, but I am not in it, and I don't talk to Tim Cook, so I really don't know. So me buying Apple is an arrogant decision. And I guess, like, you have to know that you can be wrong. And when I was young, I worked for Lehman Brothers, and we had access. I had access free to amazing research for all these companies, where like CEOs are interviewed, and it was like their books, and it was summarized by brilliant people. And I thought that I couldn't lose because I had like access to gold information, and I invested like that. And you know, surprise, surprise, I lost a lot of money as a result, because at the end of the day, unless you know, and especially if you're making decisions based on other people's research, you're kind of taking a leap of faith. And so...
Yeah, no one's ever right.
Yeah.
No one's ever right more at a more than they're not.
Exactly. And this is why...
In this field.
This is why, like, you know, Warren Buffett says, like, to his wife and kids and pretty much anyone, just invest in index stocks, because he actually made a bet over a 10-year period with a bunch of hedge fund managers. And they're like... I bet $1 million that no one can beat the market average. And obviously everyone's like, well, I mean, they can't, but I can, because I'm the best. Yeah. And surprise, surprise, Warren Buffett won the bet, you know, and it's not a lot of money for the guy, but you know.
Yep. But he proved a good point. And speaking of the arrogance thing, even though I ended up ahead with my individual stock investing, there was still some arrogance that like bit me in the ass a bit. So I think I bought overstock around 30 or maybe 35. And then I sold around like 45 because I was sure. I was like, all right, this is the point where the Bitcoin craze starts to die down. And I bet you overstock's going to take a huge hit. So I sold everything. And then in a week later, it was like at 80.
Are you talking about overstock.com, by the way?
Yeah.
But okay. Hold on one sec.
It's weird, right?
Cause like, I lost money, you know, as a result, but I think, The single biggest lesson I learned as a result, I happened to work for this company called Lehman Brothers, and they went bankrupt. And I think like...
What?
I know, right? I still own like 400 something shares, which could definitely wallpaper my office.
Damn it.
But the single biggest life lesson...
It can only go up from here, baby. It can only go up.
That's right. The single biggest lesson I learned, you know, kind of related to this arrogance is one of my favorite words, hubris. And this thought.
You love that word.
I do. I really do. Because
heard that word a lot during our breakup.
You from me?
Yeah.
I did. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Like the thing is, you have to. Being humble is hard, and few people really truly are. But to understand.
No, dude. I'm the best at being humble.
Exactly.
If anyone's great, I'm.
It's just.
Ask my mom.
Allowing yourself to know that you don't know everything, because.
Yeah,
I was in the room with the smartest people I felt like in the world, and they all missed the biggest thing. So
well, they were all criminals.
Well, not all of them.
No, they all got golden parachutes. You didn't.
Something like that.
Yeah.
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 You weren't high up enough. So understand probably are a little arrogant sometimes, like everyone is.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, me especially, you know? But yes.
Speak for yourself, man.
So I guess those are our money mistakes. There are probably others.
I bought stock in Sirius Satellite Radio when I thought Howard Stern was going to make
it. That is a terrible idea.
I didn't have any stock, and the guy I was working with at the time, he was like, I mean, you can't not lose, right? I'm like, you make a good point, man. I was like, I put $600 in, and I lost $600.
You should call him up, like 10 years later, be like, dude, I lost.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? Like, you owe me money.
He's like, yeah, but you can't not lose now, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Okay, so going forward, after this episode, you will no longer hear me, at least on every single episode. I'll probably come back from time to time. And I guess that leads us into promotional corner, because there are a couple of other podcasts that you may want to add to your podcast player in addition to this one. One of them being Matt's other podcast, Money Lab. So that one is, what do you call it? Just business porn?
Business porn? Inside baseball when it comes to like online, like stuff that I do and we all do.
Yeah.
But just more like honest, like kind of like this show, honest conversation between friends about a thing that we're passionate about, and very can be get it can get pretty technical, but also we talk about sort of the emotional side of like, yeah, this shit's hard. It may look easy, it may look like we're doing well, but you know, Andrew has gray hairs, I have gray beard hairs. We're under the age of 35, and that should not be.
Yeah. I loved the episode on burnout and mental health that you did. Was that with Justin?
That was Justin Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a long one.
That was a long one. That was very long, but it was good. The one on making friends and just doing social things.
Oh, yeah.
Nathaniel was very good. That's a great podcast. I think that's, for me, is a perfect podcast. Because
it's for you.
Listen Money Matters. The reason I listened to Listen Money Matters back in the day was more that I felt I was hanging out with friends,
yeah,
than about the money stuff. And like, I happened to learn all this money stuff along the way, but it was like I'm hanging out with friends almost. Like, it's great. And Money Lab is like that, but for topics that I'm super steeped in as an online entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So if you are an entrepreneur or you're interested in the technicalities and the daily life of someone who does work
and
like
the truth.
We do. Yeah. And no weird hype, because you're like the opposite of those big hype shows.
I literally do not, I cannot sell a dream because I don't believe it's a dream. It's just another job, but I get to work more hours.
It is more stressful.
Yeah,
in
like the realm of
entrepreneurs,
between like the cynical end and like the super hype up guy end, you're more in the cynical end for sure.
Oh,
especially when it comes to like selling the dream.
Very cynical.
So, but it's a great show. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
And then my podcast, as most of you guys probably know, it's called the College Info Geek Podcast, and that I'm still hosting every single Monday with my good friend Martin. So add both of those shows to your Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use. And if you're listening to this on the website, you should also add this show to your podcast player, because it's way more convenient and you can make it automatically download the episodes if you want, and all the show notes are in there, and it's great. So there's also a Google Podcast now.
Yeah, Google,
which is cool. They finally came out with a dedicated podcast app like 10 years too late, but it's finally here, so check that out. I want to say to everyone listening, thank you for listening for however long you've been with us, whether it's been since the original Matt days or whether it's been since I started hosting the show. It's been an awesome run. Like, this show has changed my life. This being on this show has made huge changes in my own business. Like, it's done a lot. And it's been great just getting to talk with Andrew every single week. I've known you for 5.5 years now, which is really weird.
You always make me feel old, dude.
4.5 years. Sorry, 4.5 years. But it's still, it's crazy.
Just stop.
You just got another gray hair.
Yeah, right.
Just popped up.
I'm getting stressed.
It's been pretty great. Like, I moved to the area where you live, and I go to New York like twice a year at least. So I see you basically every time I'm there. It's been awesome. And I'll be back on the show every now and then. I think that the three of us will also end up on Money Lab occasionally as well.
Oh, for sure.
Talk business, talk that indoor baseball, you know.
Inside baseball. Well, I'm pretty sure I've watched indoor baseball before. That's got to be a thing. Is that just when they play in a dome?
In one of my Slack groups, we have a tradition of like screwing up those sayings.
like for all intensive purposes.
Yeah, for all intensive purposes, or like the man in the glass house sinks ships, thing like that. We're just like screwing up the idioms.
I love that.
So yeah, don't count your chickens before they hatch or something like that. I don't know.
When there's grass in the field, mow it.
Exactly. Yeah, oh, I don't even know what brutal. That would mean.
Yeah, don't research that.
Anyway, cheers to you guys. I will be listening. Don't screw my show up. I'm gonna call this partly my show.
You have to. I don't know. I was thinking like how much I felt ownership of it. Even like from a distance, I feel like I did. I always like said like that was, it's always been a part of my bio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You laid a lot of the bricks. Mm. All three of
yeah,
us have
but
laid
you kept
a lot of the bricks.
Yeah. But you kept the house, like you built the house up even more and you added, some additions and improved the foundation a bit. And so, yeah, I will not screw it up. I hope. God damn it.
Don't go far.
Now I'm afraid, yeah.
Now I put the pressure on. But
oh,
yes,
boy.
I will be listening. Cool. And I'll do my final sign out here. So thank you as always for listening, dear listener. If you want to find all of our show notes, I don't know if this episode even needs show notes. Actually, it does need show notes because we need to link out to our podcasts.
Damn right.
And maybe one or two older episodes for people who want to go back and actually see what the show was like with Matt. If they are impatient for next week's episode, those can, as always, be found at listenmoneymatters.com/show. And we also have listenmoneymatters.com/toolbox, where all of our favorite money management apps, gear, books we recommend, and all sorts of other great stuff for improving your financial life can be found. And last but not least, give us a review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't done so already. It's a big help to the show. Helps drive us up the rankings, helps to increase the audience and bring new listeners in. So if you do enjoy this show, go leave us a review. So I think that'll do it. Thanks for listening once again. And Matt and Andrew, we'll see you in next week's episode. Later, guys.
Later, man.
Later.
Please tell your friends about this show.